Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in to Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young. Join America's leading relationship expert, top holistic life coach, and best-selling author, Dr. D. Yvonne Young, along with a diverse team of regular commentators, experts, and celebrity guests. Be entertained while being informed on the issues that affect you most. Don't miss it. Dr. D. Yvonne Young, providing you the tools you need to start living a profoundly extraordinary life.
Good evening, America. Today is July the 21st, 2015, and you're tuned in to Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young. Tonight is a very special night. When we think of words like couples, engagement, love, marriage, things like that, there's a good friend of mine who, other than Barry White, is probably responsible for a number of guys getting on their knees, a lot of proposals, a lot of weddings, and probably even a few of you that are listening to this show right now have been affected by this man's music. If he didn't have you fall in love, he helps you get through the love, or possibly that little kid you have in the background that wants a syrup sandwich right now is the end result of you playing his music. That man is named Mr. Tony Terry. Tony and I have been friends since, oh God, I'm not going to tell our age, but we're both gentlemen of a certain age. And tonight we're going to talk to my buddy Tony. So in case the name rings a bell and you're attempting to remember who this guy is, just in a moment we're going to play a record that has sold millions of copies that was one of Tony's biggest hits. So he's touring. I think Tony's on the East Coast somewhere tonight, and he will be calling in to join us shortly. So in the meantime, let's lay back, let's kick it, and listen to When I'm With You by Mr. Tony Terry. And after that, we'll be right back. Keep it here. Talk to you in a minute. Gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to a very good friend of mine, Mr. Tony Terry. Tony, America's on air, so you want to say hello?
Of course I want to say hello. I didn't realize we were on live yet. Hey. My brother, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. So I guess the first question that everybody wants to know is, what is going on with Mr. Tony Terry? What's been up? Where you and what you're doing? Talk to us.
Well, right now, I'm in Philly. I just got finished performing at a wedding, and I'm on my way back to the hotel. I'm about to go get my groove on. I mean, yes, I did, in fact, mean my groove, and I'm going to get it on.
Hey, I do understand, dude. Man, I got to go. I'm flashing back. I'm remembering going all the way back in the days when I actually had a ponytail in the back of my neck and you had a high top fade and you were like rocking everything in America. And it's been, you know, it's been a minute. Have you really seen a big change in music and what's going on, especially as it relates to like R&B joints and guys using real instruments and instead of singing with an effects machine hitting up the voice. I mean, if there was anything that you could say that has changed in the industry, what's changed, Tony?
Everything has changed. I mean, the way the music sounds, listen, when I started in the music business, there were a multitude of major record companies, major record labels, and I think probably at this point there's probably three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the advent of the Internet, it's changed the game so tremendously. I mean, you know, I have access to the world now, just like a major label does. Well, you know, on my laptop, that in and of itself changes everything. Not to mention the fact that the music, the sound has changed, which obviously, you know, you expect music to evolve and to into the next thing, into the next thing. However, for me, I think that what we're calling soul music, R&B music, it's just a little bit off the mark.
When you say it's off the mark, exactly what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, Chris Brown is considered an R&B artist, and, you know, like Rihanna, they don't sing R&B, they sing pop. And I think that, you know, one of the things that's missing in today's music, certainly on radio that I listen to, is a lack of soul, a lack of passion. And I won't say bring that back, because I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I'm just doing what I do, and what I do is I tell stories, love songs. I tell love stories. How about that?
Well, I remember just a couple of occasions when we were doing some taping for the television show Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young. You and I were sitting outside, and I think this is going back like 3 years ago, the Red Cat Jazz Festival, Sam Pink's club up in Houston. And we were talking about love and intimacy and relationships. Where is it that these younger cats are missing the boat, you think? Because I know when I'm listening to music now, it's all about, you know, baby, you know, do something freaky to me and I'm going to get shot in my chest. And I really don't feel intimacy when I hear that. But when we listen to the music that you write, and especially even your new joints like Bedroom Banger and some of your other stuff, man, it has still got that je ne sais quoi, that ambiance to it that makes us feel like we want to be in love and we want to be loved. Do you think the reason that these young cats are blowing it so much is because they really don't know what love is anymore?
Well, I mean, I think that everybody wants to experience love, wants to know what that is, but I think that we're in a time of instant gratification. We're in the microwave time, you know, quickly. We want it fast. We want it, and we want it now. And I just think that people don't really take the time to cultivate, groom, and, you know, set up, you know, romantic situations. We listen to radio today, and you hear, you know, Lil Wayne talking about, what's the song, you know, the cop pulled over me and she made me do it. She made me go, whoop, whoop. Where's the romance? There's no romance. There's no romance. And I think that, you know, it's kind of hard to say that it, you know, it comes from, like, I don't want to sound, you know, like old-fashioned and say, well, that comes from your parents or it comes from a role model. But, you know, it does. It comes from someone teaching you how to love. With regard to men, it comes from someone, you know, showing you how to be a man, how to love and appreciate and take care of a woman. And we don't, I mean, we singing, we making records like, I'm riding around and I'm getting it. I'm riding around and I'm getting it. Where's the romance in that?
Yeah. Well, I think when I started hearing brothers compare a woman to a Jeep and she bounces like my car.
That's my Jeep. Come on, man. Where do they do that?
Yeah, well, the women I know some women that, well, let me shut up because I will be getting letters. But I will say this. See, what I notice when I'm out doing gigs, especially when I'm watching you do your thing, what I notice is that no matter how much we try to come up with product that's, I don't want to say new product, because this is like all artists that I know that have been associated with Love, like you and Luther and Keith Sweat and Maxwell, and no one wants to hear, seemingly, even their new music. Everyone wants to hear something that just hits home. And when I'm with you gets played anywhere, the dance floor fills up. People that range in age by 20, 15 years all know the words to that song. What would you say is what's going on with that? Is it just that we are just pre-wired to know real stuff from bull stuff, or is it that those songs just hit us in ways that we otherwise would not connect?
Well, you know, honestly, I think the task as a writer and a performer is to connect on an emotional level. And, you know, a song like With You is really, it's not a complicated idea. It's not a complicated notion. It's simple. In fact, it's borderline corny. When I'm with you, I hear a song that makes me laugh and smile and sing. When I'm with you, it's for real what I feel when I'm with you. You know what? Really, in its simplicity, and I think that what really makes such a statement or such a lyric work is that it came from a place of honesty. At the time that when it was written, it was genuine. It wasn't some, you know, prefabricated song that was just written out of the blue. It came from someone's genuine experience. And I think that writing from a place of realness really makes a difference. You know, I don't really have the gift of making up songs. If I'm not going through something, or if I don't have, you know, a real, now obviously I have a creative mind, but I really like to take real life situations and write about them, whether they are, I like to call what I sing life songs as opposed to love songs, because sometimes it's not about love. Sometimes it's about life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really do think that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'll keep going. I really want to hear this. Keep going.
No, I just think that's missing. You know, we find the somehow mediocrity has become the norm and what is acceptable. But shows like The Voice, I think, are very important, because if you've ever watched The Voice, you know that the judges' backs are turned to the contestants, and they have to be moved by their voices or affected by what's going on an emotional level in order to turn their chairs around. And I think that is shining the light on one's ability to connect to a lyric and a melody.
Well, is that the same thing that you think takes place with us being a listener, is that when we feel this connection and we hear melody, is it associated with the person that we think we're in love with, or is it associated more with the words of music that just keeps us?
Hey, brother, I'm sorry. I am I'm moving around, and so that last question was a little bit broken up, and I didn't quite hear it. Can you ask me that question again?
Yeah, let me repeat it. Do you think what we are connecting with is the melody and the music, or is it the lyrics, or is it that all of that combined gives us
a way combined? It's definitely a combination. It's definitely a combination of lyric and melody. It doesn't even, like, you know, you can't reinvent the wheel. There's no new note. There's no new melody. There's not even a new word that anybody can sing. There's nothing new about what we do. What we do is arrange and sing lyrics and melodies, if you are a true artist, that are inspired and that, you know, individual energy is connected to a lyric and or a melody, which makes it new or not,
mm-hmm.
or the introduction of a new idea
and it really comes about from how it's delivered, I think plays a tremendous role in how it is perceived. As I said, there's nothing new under the sun. There are no new notes that we can sing. There are no new melodies we can write. We can only arrange the notes that already exist and bring a new energy to it or a passion to it that hopefully people connect to on an emotional level. At this point, for me, you know, I am a man of a certain age, and I have to find songs that even affect me on an emotional level, that I want to be bothered with singing for the next 10, 20 years, at least, because I feel like I got at least that many years left in the game. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, let me just do this real quick. We're going to take about a 45-second break. You're listening to Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young. If you want to hit us up and speak with Tony Terry, you can call us at 646-478-5610. That's 646-478-5610. And push number one. We'll have you in the queue. We'll be right back in about 45 seconds with Tony Terry. You're listening to Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young with my special guest tonight, Mr. Tony Terry. Tony is responsible for more babies and people springing their necks and backs trying to dance his beat than I think anybody. Your two best friends are OB-GYN and a chiropractor, bro. I need to ask you another question, Tony. As we look back and start talking about love and marriage, I know that you went through an ordeal with your wife that really not only tested not just the marriage, but tested you spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Do you care to talk about that?
Sure. I guess you would be talking about the fact that my wife has fibromyalgia. And how it impacted our lives. Yeah, after my wife gave birth to our son, a beautiful, beautiful little boy. He is, you know, I have a daughter, of course, everybody knows that. And she was the inspiration for me recording my son. But I think that any man knows that when a son comes along, then that just kind of changes the game. My daughter is the apple of my eye, but my son carries on the legacy. And after giving birth to my son, my wife went into, she was having this chronic pain, and, you know, for months. We had no idea what was going on. I didn't know if she had muscular sclerosis. We didn't know that she had carpal tunnel. We didn't know what was going on because it mimics a couple of things that fibromyalgia looks like. And so we were going through this, really trying to figure out what was happening, because my wife is fit, healthy, vibrant, traveling, and now, well, I don't mean now, but then when you know, my son is now six, but in the beginning, she went from being healthy and vibrant to she couldn't even pick our son up. I'm talking about even he was at 6 pounds, he was too heavy for her to even pick him up.
Wow.
And I didn't understand, and of course it heightened my concern because I didn't know what was going on with her. And, you know, and I had to work and I'm traveling and I was leaving my wife and I didn't know what was going on. She didn't know what was going on and she was very afraid. And then we were ultimately, and I say we, because we were ultimately diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And I didn't know what that was. However, I knew someone that had lived with the condition prior to even meeting my wife. And I knew that that person had a very lonely existence, for lack of better words. I mean, because, you know, when you're going through it, as I've experienced, when my wife is going through it, having a flare-up, there's very little consolation that I can offer her that will provide any relief.
I got to ask a quick question on this. How long had you guys been married when this happened?
We were together a year. We had been together a year. Our son was born a year later, and 3 days after giving birth to my son, my wife was experiencing some, you know, like she kept saying, you know, like when she would lay down, that she couldn't breathe. And I just thought, you know, she was anxious, that she was experiencing some anxiety because both she and I wanted this baby so badly. And then she finally had him, and I thought just the anxiety of all that she had gone through was wearing on her. And when we ultimately got in touch with her doctor because she couldn't rest and she couldn't lay down, and we were instructed to call 911, and, you know, not really fully understanding why I needed to call 911. I was just obeying the doctor's orders. And once we got my wife to the hospital, we found out that she was in congestive heart failure, and I think that was because of some treatment that she might have received from the hospital. But once dealing with that, the aftermath was that she was in chronic pain, and it started in her fingers, of all places. She kept saying her fingers were hurting, and then her wrists, and then her neck locked up. She couldn't turn it, and then her arms locked up. She couldn't raise her arms, and we didn't understand, you know, how can you go from being perfectly fit to now you can't even raise your arm to pick up your child? And so we started investigating why this might be. And it took about 6 months for us to be diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And then once we were, then we were allowed the opportunity to, you know, to start the process of mending or healing, so to speak, and the treatment for such a thing is, or at least in her case, was narcotics. And so my wife had been living on narcotics for about 6 years, and she just recently, it's actually been a month and 2 weeks that she decided that she no longer wanted to live on narcotics to deal with what was going on with her, and she went cold turkey. But got off all of the pain medicine, which is a wonderful thing because now I'm starting to feel like I'm getting my wife back. But it has been an arduous journey. It's been a difficult situation because fibromyalgia pretty much came in and took over our lives, whether I liked it or not. I had to deal with it, and I had to deal with what it was doing to my wife with regards to affecting her personality and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, and it seriously, seriously affected us. But, you know, I took the vows of man and wife very, very, very seriously, not having any idea that I was really going to be tested.
Man.
And so here we are. Here we are, you know. She's getting better. And, you know, God is good.
Well, I've got to ask this question. Being on tour, and I know that you're doing so many different joints. I know you you're doing a Tom Joyner cruise, you're traveling. I know one day we were talking, and I'm like, dude, what's up, where you been? And you just told me you just took off a flak jacket because you were over in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that affect you when you're flying all around the world? You got a son that how old is your son now?
I'm six.
6 year old son, a wife that is dealing with a disease that we in medicine still don't know what the hell to do with it. It's you know what if everything, the one thing that works for one patient doesn't work for the other. So you're
right.
Dealing with all of this pressure. And then not to mention having a global brand, how has that affected Tony Terry?
It's been stressful, dude, and that's 100. You know, I'm human. But you know what? What it did was, you know, people don't know that I'm the spokesman for the National Fibromyalgia Association. And, you know, I went out to Irvine, California for National Fibromyalgia Day to do a big event. And I was asked to speak, and I really wasn't sure what I was going to speak about. And ultimately, when I took the podium, I spoke from a caregiver's point of view, because a lot of people, you know, who deal with or live with people who have chronic illnesses are the unsung, because it's really a thankless job. And so what I realized was, the stress, the pressure of taking care of someone who lives with a chronic illness affects everybody involved. It affects the entire family. And I, in the beginning, was feeling some guilt, I think, for lack of a better word, because, you know, I was getting frustrated. And it was wearing me out. And I felt guilty for being frustrated and guilty for feeling like, you know, this was overwhelming. But you know what? I realized I'm human and we get frustrated. And so once I started dealing with the fact that sometimes, you know, I don't feel like it. Sometimes, you know, it's my wife who lives with the condition, but because of the way that it affected her, you know, I had to get to the point where I was okay with saying, you know what, you're wearing me out today. You're getting on my nerves today. And I had to get to that point, and I had to get to that point without feeling guilty. And when I was able to get to the place where I could say, you know what, I'm doing what I can do, and today I'm tired. Right now you're getting on my nerves, because me and my wife keep it real with each other that way. And, you know, when I began to not hold in my frustration, then for us, it just seems so much better, because, you know, any, let's say, resentment to fibromyalgia that I might have had because I was holding in my feeling about what was going on, I don't do that anymore. And, it just made dealing with it so much easier, you know, with regard to traveling and all that kind of stuff. You know, yeah, of course it's stressful. You know, I'm leaving home and my wife is sick and all that kind of stuff. But I take my family on the road as much as I can, which lately has not been that often. But we've decided to homeschool our son this year, so I'm probably going to be including my family more so in my travels than I have in recent past.
Okay, I got to ask a big question. This is going to be a really good thing. You have a new single out, and it's called
Yeah.
All I Need. Tell
Yes,
me what
sir.
Was the inspiration of that, for that?
All I Need, really, you know, it's a love song, and it, you know, I like to tell people that, you know, well, I met my wife at an airport, in Detroit Airport, and, of course, she was sweating me, and, you know, she couldn't wait to get my number and all that. Of course, her story is probably going to be different, but it really just loosely tells the story, you know, the love story between me and my wife.
Wow, that sounds cool. Tell you what, America, you're listening to my dude, Mr. Tony Terry. We've got a surprise for Tony that's holding on the phone, but we're going to come back in about probably about 45 seconds or so. But before we do, Tony, I got to ask you about this. I know you've got some tour dates coming up, and we're going to mention them again at the end of the show. But where are you going to be touring in the probably the next 90 days or so? You got any special dates in mind?
Yeah, actually, I am going to be coming to Houston and Dallas on the 22nd and 23rd of August, and at Rockefeller Hall in Houston, and I'm not sure the venue in Dallas, but I'll definitely be coming down that way. And to be honest, I got to check my own calendar from day to day. I got to look at. We have a Google link that we share, my team, and every day my publicist or my manager will put something on there for me to do. And if I don't look at it, I don't know what the heck I'm doing, dude. So I would have to look at it to tell you what I have next. But I do know that the 22nd and 23rd are Dallas and Houston.
Okay, well, I've got an idea. I got two things for you. I've got a surprise when we come back. But, America, you're listening to Tony Terry. This is Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young. Now, we're about to play a joint that I want you to support. Go and download it. Get it from the store. This is All I Need by Mr. Tony Terry.
Yes, sir.
I'll be honest, I can't lie, you're all I need in my life. My heart inside never felt so right. If this is wrong, I don't wanna be right. I think of you all the time, girl, you're always on my mind. But a moment of the day goes by, when I don't wish you were by my side. You came along and eased my pain. Girl, you know you made. Cause most my love's been hit on me. A commitment's what I was searching for. I needed someone to give me more. You're the foreground to my background. Baby, I won't let you down. Because of you, I have no life. I thank God that you are my wife. You came my pain. Girl, you know you made me whole again.
I know Ronnie is crying every time you play that record, right?
Well, she crying, but I'm sure it's for a whole set of different reasons.
Well, I've got something that probably got me. Ronnie, please do not kill me. Your husband said that. I want to be invited to future dinners and that's for all viewers. I've got a guy on the line that I think you may know this guy's name. I think it was maybe 60 days ago, I was talking to him. This dude is like one of the best drummers, in my opinion. I'm a drummer, and I won't even look at a drum set in his presence, but this dude is probably, I would say without a doubt, one of the top 10 drummers in the world. He's got a new CD out, and you and this gentleman are going to be featured doing a tour date in Houston, Texas. Pat, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Hey.
What's going
hey,
on, man?
What's up, Tommy?
How you doing, man?
Good, I'm good.
Good.
Thanks. Hey, I know you were touring. Both you guys are touring, and I'm touring. Isn't this weird? All of us actually are working and making money. Pat, tell us about the date with you and Tony. Where is it going to be, and what's going on with that, dude?
All right. Well, I just recently started my own band. It's the Pat Williams Group here in Houston. And I did a debut show at the historic Rockefeller Hall here in Houston. It's a place where the Yellow Jackets used to come, B.B. King, Bobby Bland. I mean, it's everybody that was anybody that toured back in the day used to hit that hall. So I thought it would be right to, when I started my own thing, to start out in a place like that. I ran into Tony on the Tom Joyner cruise. I was playing with Mike Phillips and Avant. And I thought, I said, man, Tony has always been one of my favorite vocalists. And I'm like, you know, why not get him to come down with my band? We do my thing and he does his thing together and just call it, you know, just an intimate night with, you know, jazz and R&B. So I reached out to Tony, said talk to his people, and he worked it out for us. And he's coming down August the 23rd. It's a Friday night here in Houston, Texas.
So what are you guys doing? Are you playing behind Tony, or what's going on with this gig?
Yeah, well, I've got my band is going to be doing some jazz, some soul, some funk, a little bit of everything up front, and then we're going to bring Tony out, and he's going to be singing along with my band with his stuff. So we're going to give you everything from George Duke to D'Angelo, and then we'll come back and
Tony Terry.
Yeah, get Tony Terry in there. Do some of the old and get All I Need in there too. So
all I can say, that is going to be smoking hot, America. I can just vouch for this without hesitation. Tony's vocals, if you have not seen him in the last year, you have not seen him. Stuff
yeah, right.
has always really, really been good, but the dude, the falsetto is off the chart. The ambiance in your voice is just, for lack of a better choice of words, almost spellbinding. What are you doing, Tony, to other than a million crunches and getting your biceps to look like cannonballs? What are you doing, man, to make your voice pop like that?
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for that, my brother. You know, dude, okay, I'm a man of a particular age. Been in the game for a long time. And so at this point, for me, it really is about preservation and longevity and, you know, staying and the legacy of what it is I do. And so, you know, well, let's say 20 years ago, I might have been up for the party and up for hanging out half the night. You know, at this point in the game, I pretty much understand what's going on and you know, I got to get my rest and, you know, I realized that for me, I absolutely love what I do. However, you know, when I'm working, most other people are relaxing and being entertained or having a night of fun. So I have to, you know, like when I'm finished singing or whatever, I'm not really a heavy drinker, and you know, I don't really party late at night because I understand, you know, it takes a little bit longer for me to get moving in the morning. So I try to pull it in and get some rest because I know what the next thing is, and I try to keep my eye on the big picture because I realize that you're only as good as the last thing that you've done. So I try to make sure that every last thing that I've done is really good.
Well, I know what amazed me. When I was early in the game, I was producing concerts, and I had an opportunity to work with everybody from the Temptations to Michael Henderson to the Gap Band, just a number of artists. And there was one time I was on tour with a particular artist, and I am not going to mention this cat's name, but it sure the hell was not Tony Terry. And this lady in the kitchen said, it was like this wake-up call. She said, you know what, your band sounds great. You know, your wardrobe is fly, but you don't sound like your records. Well, Tony, every time I hear you, you sound better than your records. And because of that, you have a phenomenal amount of groupies that follow you. And I'm not just talking chicks. I mean, and I'm not talking about the Atlanta male groupie either. Y'all will catch that in a minute. Have a lot of groupies that just look at you as a musical icon. So I remember we were chatting one night after you did a gig, and you've been doing a lot of mentoring and lecturing to young artists. So for those aspiring wannabe crooners out there, what would be the message that you would have for them?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you to you for all those wonderful words that you bestowed upon me. I really appreciate that. You know, I just really try to, you know, encourage kids or upstarts in the music business, you know, one, primarily to let passion be their guide. Not everybody who ventures into the music business will be successful. But I believe that whatever your motivation is, like for me, for example, I was never really motivated by money. Now, my reality is music is what I do, and it's what I do for a living. And obviously, I have to live and I have to get paid for what I do. However, it was never really my motivation. Money was never really my motivation. My passion for music is what motivated me. And I think probably if I was going to give somebody advice about, you know, about this music business, and that would be to brush up on business. You know, the game playing field has been leveled with the advent of the internet, because if you have a laptop, you have access to the world, just like a major label does. And so I believe that, you know, diligence, being on top of your game, and letting passion be your guide, and learning the business are probably the tools, for at least in my mind, that one would need to enjoy some degree of success in this music business. Because only 10 to maybe 20% of what we do is show. Most of it is about setting up, rehearsing, making sure the business is straight. And if you're not on top of that or aware enough to realize what's going on, then, you know, you might miss out on a lot. And I say that from experience, because in the beginning of my career, I didn't know a lot, and I did not have a mentor. I was actually having this conversation with a couple of friends a few days ago about not having had a mentor and having had to learn some lessons that cost me a whole lot of money. But I learned those lessons, and now I think that, you know, probably I would just advise people to be on top of their business, sign your own checks, make sure you know what's going on around you, involve yourself, because it really is more than just making music. In an ideal world, a musician could just focus on making music. But, you know, to be an entrepreneur, you have to be aware of the business and make sure that you surround yourself with people that genuinely care about you.
Let me ask you, how can they tell, though, Tony? Yeah, so you've been lucky. I know you've been with my frat brother, Tony Sanders, and his as your personal manager for quite some time. And then I met another young lady that you work with, but I know it wasn't always a Tony Sanders in your corner. And before you had Tony the other sister that I met in Houston, you went through some very interesting people. So how can what advice would you give a young artist to know when you have a fool for a manager that you need to kick to the curb?
Well, I mean, first of all, if you don't have anything to manage, then handle your own business. I think people think that they need a manager well before they even have a need for such. You know, I need a manager to get this stuff done. But, you know, a manager is just that, someone who manages
what you have going on. And if you don't have a lot of things going on that require management, then you're just spending money unnecessarily.
Is there a some way to make sure you're putting out quality product? Because I remember being in the game, and I was doing this thing where I was investing money with Alan. Well, I'm not going to mention his name. This guy that did a very large concert tour around America in a beer company with horses promoted it and figured that out if you're old enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is we would always get these hard lessons because – the music business will chew you up and spit you out, and Hollywood will make you the dessert. So is there something that you would suggest that these guys do beyond the management, but in my opinion, in terms of perfecting their gifts and sharpening their talents, and how do they know when the material is appropriate for them?
Well, you know what? Everybody thinks that their music is great, and everything sounds like a hit record in the studio. So, I mean, how do you know? How do you know? I mean, you know, again, you have to surround yourself with people that are not necessarily yes men, but that are going to genuinely advise you on what's happening. So, okay, in my case, I record a whole bunch of music, and in the studio I think everything sounds great. So what we've been doing is having a series of listening parties. And so the point of those listening parties has not been so much to here's my new album, but it, for me, it's been about involving my fans, getting feedback, listening and responding to people, because not everything that we think is a hit is in fact a hit. You know, for me to use an example would be one of my own classic records, Everlasting Love. When I recorded Everlasting Love, when we were sequencing the album, was already recorded. I had about 25, maybe 30 songs to choose from. I'm only going to put 10 songs on the album. What are they going to be out of this 25? Well, Everlasting Love came up to, you know, okay, so what about this one? And I hated it. Didn't want that record on my record. I remember clearly saying, I don't want to be singing that song for the next 20 years because I don't like it.
Sell a million copies?
Huh?
Didn't that record sell like a million units?
Number one record.
Yeah.
Number one record. But it's just, again, it goes back to, you know, listening to, a wise man would say counsel, listening to your counsel of your peers. You know, I play my music for people that are close in my circle, and, you know, I listen to their responses. And, you know, you can tell if somebody likes your music or not. You know, if you play some new music to somebody, and within 10 seconds they start talking or strike up a conversation or start texting on their phone, guess what? You don't have a hit record.
Wow.
You've lost them.
That is scary. Well, I can say this. I was looking at I think it was Sunday Best when they were doing the trials, and Donnie McClurkin made this comment that if somebody else comes out here and sings this song again, I'm going to die. And what happens if somebody sings that song? So, America, you're listening to a hit maker with more than his fair share of hits tell you something. So if you see your cat run out the room or somebody starts popping another top, that means your record probably sucks.
The record probably sucks.
I've got one other question, and then what we're going to do, Tony, this record made you, I mean, I don't care where I have been with you, whether it was going to somebody's house at midnight or you just walking into a room or wherever you have been, people ask to hear this song. I want to ask my producer, Julia, go ahead and cue it up. And we're going to play it and come back with Tony before we go out to the show. But I want to play this so we can come back and get a little bit more info on where to get up with you and how to get tickets, especially this show in Houston, because I know with you and Pat on the stage, that's going to be a magical moment. So, Julia, if you don't mind, this is When I'm With You featuring Tony Terry.
Just like that.
I know if I keep letting that record play, I will have someone filing child support on both of us. Got to ask a quick question, Tony. If people want to get up with you, tell me some ways that they can reach you, man.
Well, you know, I'm always very much interested in staying connected with my fans. So, you know, you can follow a brother on Twitter at Mr. Tony Terry. Follow me, I follow back. And, of course, on Facebook, the Golden Voice of R&B. And if anybody might be interested in booking me at all, they can hit me up at MrTonyTerry.com, and there will be a link on there. You know, there'll be a link on there to connect with my management, New Image Management. And let's make that thing happen. You might want to book a brother to come sing at your wedding or something, and we can definitely do that.
Yeah, I know the Tom Jones crew sold out. They had a night with all you balladeers, and you were featured in that thing. And I think people paid some crazy amount of money. Like, yeah, I know it was in the thousands for just you and two other guys to just sing some of these ballads to them. So, fellas, if you really want to pop the wedding off, and really, that's your girl. I'm going to tell you, make it happen. It's definitely a moment to remember. I want to go to my producer real quick because I know that we've been having callers, but there's just so much to talk about with Tony Terry. Julia, if we have a caller holding, we'll go ahead and take one call before we go. Is that cool with you, Tony?
Yes.
Okay. Caller, are you there?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm not sure if you're still there. Phone number ending in 6500. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah,
who am I?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Tony Terry, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, this is your Houston cousin, Andre James. I want to give a shout out to Houston, Texas.
Andre.
You're in town for the 23rd. You need to come to the show, man.
Is this the Andre James with the balladeer, the guy that sings with Regina Bell and everybody else that's ever had a hit, Andre
and
James?
And sings with Tony Terry. You got to put that in, too.
Andre is the person that's going to I guess my liaison down in the Houston area. He's putting together my singers and making sure that they're right. You know, him and Pat. You know, I've been down to Houston quite a few times over the years, and I always get an amazing reception. And so I'm really looking forward to coming down this time. I'm working with Pat and Andre and really doing something special because it's been a good 5 years at least since I've been down there, right?
Yeah,
wow.
We had a show down at the camp. But man, it's gonna be a great show. Pat is, you know, he's family. He's my musical family down there. And Tony, we got your back, man. We got your back.
Yeah, I am not worried at all. In fact, I'm so looking forward to coming down there and just ripping stuff up.
Man, it's gonna be a great show. And Pat's gonna give an awesome show. Pat, you still online?
Yeah, I'm here, man. How you doing?
Hey, bro. Hey, that's part of the music family. But Tony, can't wait to see you get down here. The BGV's already rehearsing. Pat got the band doing this thing, so man, we'll have a great show.
Awesome. You, Andre, and thank you, Pat. Ladies and gentlemen, Andre is he's creme de la creme, so there is so much talent on my phone right now. I feel like I should be getting 15% or something. I don't know who to bill for it.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Thank you for the love, man. Thank you for the love.
Yeah, you guys, all three of you are very phenomenal. First, let me just get a couple of things. Pat, where can we pick up your CD, and where can we get in contact with you, dude?
Okay, well, first off, I haven't finished the CD yet. I'm still working on that, so I don't have any original music out as of yet. But for this particular show, they can go to www.thepatwilliamsgrouplive.eventbrite.com. That's www.thepatwilliamsgrouplive.com. www.eventbrite.com. The ticket's only $25, general admission. It's a very intimate setting. There aren't any bad seats in the place. Everybody's close up. It's right there. You can almost reach out and touch. I'm sure Tony's not going to have that, but, you know, it's close.
Well, I'm not mad, you know, because I often like to reach out and touch.
Yeah.
Somebody.
You know, the VIP is sold out.
Yeah. Yeah, the VIP is sold out. If you click on that, it's already gone. Unfortunately, we got that out of the way. Well, it's a good thing for us, but for those who wanted to get really, really up close and personal, those are sold. But the general admission, there will be seating. You get a seat. You just got to get there on time. You know, we can't do CP time. You got to get there on time.
Okay.
So,
and we'll
talk to you. I'm on Twitter also. It's PDWill2 on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, Patrick Williams. Man, I'm all over the place, so just look me up.
Okay, that sounds like that. Well, the last thing I want to say before we get Tony out of here is, man, thank you so much for coming on my show. The friendship I have with you is very special, but any time that I can share you with America, that's even more special. So thank you so much, especially knowing that I got you. If I can guess this, you're probably still sitting in the limo finishing this interview before you go upstairs. And
yeah,
well,
I actually am. But I want to say this to you, man. I want to say this to you, brother, Dr. Yvonne Young. I'm very proud of you. And it is my pleasure to share the airwaves with you. I'm immensely proud of what you're doing, and I'm looking forward to the great things that lie ahead for you. One of the books that you've written has been very instrumental to me. Don't Break Up.
Oh, you have a Break Up, Don't Break Down. Oh, wow,
break up,
man.
Don't Break Down. Break Up, Don't Break Down.
Man,
yeah,
well,
man.
Hey,
That's some good reading right there.
Well, hey, I appreciate you guys. We've run out of time, but America, we love you. You've been listening to Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young. Check us out this Wednesday at Lunchtime Love at noon. You can hear us all over the globe. And until then, if you can't love, find somebody to love you, you love you. This is Dr. D. Yvonne Young, and again, it's a blast. Have a fantastic week, America. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Good night.
Much love, bro.
Yes, sir.
Much love, family. I'll let you later, cuz. Peace.
Yeah, take it easy.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.